This summer, we reported on a private special education school in Middleborough accused of neglect and abuse. The Chamberlain International School is a residential school serving students from 11 to 22 years old with a range of diagnoses, such as autism and depression. An investigation by WBUR and the investigative news agency The Eye found that over a two-decade period, Chamberlain was found by the state to be non-compliant with state regulations 33 times, including for reports of improper restraints, neglect, and sexual misconduct and harassment by the staff. In August, the Boston-based Disability Law Center issued a report citing problems such as verbal and emotional abuse by staff. Chamberlain called the Disability Law Center report flawed and noted the school itself reported the vast majority of cases with issues to the state and worked to correct the problems. Since our report, The Eye's Jennifer McKim has been looking at the school's finances and joins us now to talk about it. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Bob.
So what prompted you to look at the school's finances? Why do they matter?
Well, thanks for having me. We spent quite a bit of time looking at the school because, as you said, of the allegations of abuse and neglect. And as we looked at it, the salary of the executive director, William Doherty, popped out at us as hefty, higher than all school superintendents in the state. This is also a nonprofit paid for by taxpayers. And some of the parents who were unhappy with the school questioned whether it was more of a profit-making machine than a place to take care of some of the state's most vulnerable youth.
All right, let's dive into this a little deeper. One of the things you discovered, as I understand it, was that there are several income streams going to the school's executive director, William Doherty. Explain that and how they work.
Correct. So first we saw the salary, which did seem eye-raising, but then we learned that Mr. Doherty also has other ways of earning money from the school. For one thing, he also controls a real estate trust and is a beneficiary of this trust that rents the vast majority of the campus facilities to the school for over $700,000 a year. He also owns a for-profit company that recruits students that's based in the Netherlands. The school also employs many of his current and former relatives. The co-founder is his ex-wife. His brother works in IT, and several younger relatives also work at the school.
So is this arrangement unusual?
Well, we spoke to several nonprofit experts who said, yes, that these types of issues do raise questions about nonprofit governance. Is taxpayer money being well spent? Particularly the other ways that money is funneled to the executive director.
The school is technically a public charity, right?
Correct.
So what are the rules for a public charity?
So for public charities like Chamberlain, there's certain rules about how much the top executives can earn, as well as what type of costs can go to rents when there is a related party like Mr. Doherty. So, for example, with salaries, there is a cap set for salaries at about $173,000. But Mr. Doherty makes mostly twice that because he's allowed to use funds from students that come from out of state or are private. So at the same time with the properties, he is allowed to go beyond what are the costs of renting these properties, which includes mortgages and taxes, by using funds from out of state. So in this case with Chamberlain, rents are about twice what the costs are.
And Chamberlain has out-of-state students and international students there, allowing them to exceed the usual cap.
Correct. The majority of the students come from out-of-state, which allows them to pay their executive director more and increase the rent that streams to the executive director.
Well, how much does the executive director, William Doherty, earn?
He earns over $300,000 a year, including the personal use of a Mercedes-Benz.
And where does that put him in terms of how other executive directors of similar institutions are paid?
We did an analysis of different executive directors who run these type of residential private schools, and he is at the top tier of these schools.
So what does Chamberlain say about all this?
Well, we asked multiple times to speak with William Doherty, and he declined. We also asked to speak with board members and call them directly. Nobody answered us, and they would not send anyone to us. But the school officials tell us that everything is disclosed and legal and fair.
Well, they say it's legal. Is it legitimate?
What we can say is it raises a lot of questions about public governance of a nonprofit. As I said, we spoke to several experts who said these things raise questions about that. We also spoke to Representative Alice Peisch, who co-chairs the Legislative Education Committee, and she is concerned both about issues at the school of abuse and neglect, as well as finances, as well as other issues in other schools around the state where there have been problems. And she said that she's going to be holding hearings soon.
So you expect more to come on this then?
Absolutely. We're going to be covering the hearings as well as continuing our work covering special education in Massachusetts.
All right. We'll hear from you again. Jennifer McKim, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.